Well, thank you so much, church, for having us. We've been looking forward to this ever since. Pastor Rick and I talk a lot, and not near enough, because when we get on the phone, it's about an hour and a half later. So I guess we need to talk more often. But I'll tell you, I love your pastor so much. And I want to say this. What you see in this pulpit every Sunday is how they are as people. Rachel and I have had the privilege to know them for around 5 or 6 years now. And Miss Jackie and Pastor Rick are genuine, loving, wonderful people that just love people and love God. And they serve with integrity and honor and character. And to have that in a couple and to have that in a pastor and a pastor's wife is truly amazing. And it's something to be proud of, and it's something to love. And I'm just going to tell you on the phone, he just says nothing but amazing things about you and what God's doing, and we're going to do this next and that next, and you won't believe this and you won't believe that. And I'm like, try me. Go ahead. Say, so what's the next thing you're going to say? But they're not just friends of ours. They're family. We look at them as second parents, as mentors. Just an incredible couple. We've cried together. We've prayed together. We've moved together. We've done a lot with them, and we love them very much and love their family and their son and daughter as well. Just a beautiful, beautiful family. And so thank you so much for having us. Before I preach, I would be remiss not to mention how appreciative Rachel and I are to you as a congregation. For what you gave in that Sunday night offering. Two miracles have taken place since then. The first miracle was Friday. I got a letter from our county. The church I'm at was built in 1950. The septic system was put in 1950. So it's 68 years old. And so you can imagine the wear and tear on a 68-year-old septic system. We are not even 10 feet from the city limit. Every building around us is tied in. We have a great location right there in the heart of the city. And everybody else has been tied into the sewer system. Somehow we got left out. The day that I took the church, one of the parishioners said, pastor said, just to let you know, you're going to have to place that septic system in 6 months to a year. It's failing. And I said, okay, well, I'm aware of that. And he said, but trust me, people have tried to call the city and they won't tie us in. And I said, well, maybe one phone call will change it this time. And so made that phone call, and the city agreed to tie us in. And, you know, talk is cheap on the phone. You can say a lot of things. But Friday we got a letter, official letter for the process of construction for the sanitation of Mercer County, our county where we're at, where we're going to be tied in on city water and city sewer in the fall of 2019. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. That's a miracle. That's going to save us $15,000. The second miracle was the offering that you gave on that Sunday night several months ago that blessed us. I couldn't believe what was going on because Pastor Rick and I don't FaceTime, and he wanted to FaceTime, and I thought, well, he's got a crazy good joke to tell me. And he's like, man, you're not going to believe this. You need to sit down. And so I sat down, and I was astonished. But I'm going to tell you something. When God's in it, God blesses it. When it's God's business, it's God's bill, and God takes care of it. And I appreciate every one of you that give to that offering, and appreciate you this morning for being here. Your giving has allowed us to... The Parsonage was also built in 1950, so you can imagine. Had been neglected for about 10 years. With your help, we were able to secure the down payment for the structural redesign of the basement. The basement walls are caving in, and it's a major structural issue. We were able to put that deposit down sometime in the fall of this coming year. We're hoping to be able to secure and get that complete with that basement overhaul. But we were able to with your help and some help from our own church and some others, we're able to put in new windows, new flooring, and we're living in it. It's livable now. When we got there, it wasn't livable, and so thank God for that. But would you just give God a hand for you, for what you did to help us? Amen. If you would stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word this morning, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. I'll give you a little time to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, familiar passage of Scripture. For a few moments this morning, I want to preach on the subject, small cloud, big faith. Small cloud, big faith. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. We're going to read down to verse 45. Familiar passage of Scripture, one you're going to know well. Amen. Word of God says this, 1 Kings 18, 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up and he ate and drank. And Elisha went up to the top of Carmel, where he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that Elisha said, that the servant said, "There's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So Elisha said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." So it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your rain. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of miracles. I pray today that you would do so among this people. Father, in a crowd this size, there are needs that are plenty. I pray today that you would restore, redeem, heal families, heal bodies that are sick today in this place. I pray, Father, that years and years of the past would be diminished today in one service, in one altar call, in one instance, because you're a God that can, you're a God that will, and you're a God that wants to. And Father, you're no respecter of persons. If you did it for one, you'll do it for all of us. And I pray today that we would connect with that, and Father, believe for that, because it only takes a small cloud, but it takes big faith to make things possible. And so we pray today that the impossible would be possible today amongst your people. In Jesus' name, your church said, amen. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. In 1 Kings chapter 18, in the first two verses, we find after 3 years of drought that God tells Elijah that rain is coming, that the drought is about to end, that it's going to be over soon. This is before Mount Carmel. This is before Elisha sees the victory of God by fire. Elijah is preparing for the miracle of rain to take place on the land by purifying the land. He's setting the people up for a blessing by declaring over the land that Jehovah is God and showing them that Jehovah is God. And then killing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel so that the false god of Baal is defeated and the God Jehovah, Yahweh, the true God, is victor. Now, that's a sermon in itself today, and I'm not going to preach there, but I'd like to. I came by to tell somebody before I get into what I want to preach about this morning that you'll never receive the blessing of the Lord at the altar of Baal. You'll never receive the blessing of the Lord at the altar of pride. You'll never receive the blessing of the Lord at the altar of materialism. You'll never receive the blessing of the Lord at the altar of sin. You'll never receive the blessing of the Lord at the altar of compromise. It's sometimes in our lives that God has to purify and purge and make us new. If you've bought into the name it, claim it, slap it, dab it, it's going to happen and you'll be blessed no matter what gospel. You're reading the wrong gospel. My gospel tells me that those that suffer with Him will reign with Him. I've got good news for somebody today. That if you've been suffering, my Bible says that you're going to reign with God. And in your suffering that good things are going to happen. My Bible tells me in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So your good and your bad is going to work for your good today. Because God is your God. But sometimes in our life, God wants to purify and set free and make new. That's not my sermon. That's just what I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you before I preach my sermon. So there's my introduction today. There's three things that I want to preach about today. Three keys that I want to give you. I think there's three keys to having big faith when all you see is a little cloud. And sometimes in life that's all we see. A little glimmer of hope. A little shimmer of something good. Just a little bit of something rising up out of the ashes of our life. When we've been defeated, busted, disgusted. When we've been cast down. When we've been sick. When we've been in need. When our family's falling apart. When our marriage is falling apart. And divorce is getting ready to happen. And all we can see is the ashes of our life passing by. Sometimes out of the midst of those ashes there's just a little glimmer of hope. I want to tell you today, I want to give you three keys to holding on to that glimmer of hope. Three keys to seeing in the spiritual what's not yet in the physical. The first is this, number one. I want you to write this down this morning. My spirit has to hear it before my eyes see it. My spirit has to hear it before my eyes see it. Elisha says in verse 41, it says, "Then Elisha said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain.'" There was no cloud in the sky. The sky had not darkened yet. The wind had not picked up yet. There was no sign of anything other than a normal, sunny, drought-filled day after 3 years of drought. It looks the same as it does every single day. But Elisha says and begins to speak things that are not as though they were. He begins to hear with spiritual ears. He begins to see with spiritual eyes. And he begins to tell Ahab, he says, "I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." Sometimes in the midst of your mess, God's not looking to get you out right away. He's looking for you to declare over your mess, "I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear the sound of breakthrough. I hear the chains falling today. I hear the sound of salvation. I hear the sound of deliverance." Somebody in this room today needs to declare over your lost loved ones, your lost children, "I hear the sound of an abundance of breakthrough over their lives and over their mess and over the sin that surrounds them. I hear the sound of redemption. I hear the sound of freedom today." Somebody needs to lay hands on yourself today and declare over your sick body, "I hear the sound of healing. I hear the sound of redemption. I hear the sound of legs that are going to walk again. I hear the sound of a heart that's going to beat correct again. I hear the sound of no need for surgery, because the God, the great physician, is going to heal me today. I hear the sound of something great in my life." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes before deliverance comes or the first raindrop hits the pavement, we have to declare, we have to hear it, we have to believe it before it takes place. Your pastor's gotten you where he's gotten you because he heard the sound of an abundance of rain. He believed and had a vision before it ever came to pass. He saw in the spiritual potential. He saw where God could take you and wants to take you. And he still is seeing to this day where you're going to be 4 or 5 years from now as a church. Elijah hears the rain long before he sees the rain. He declares long before it's possible, long before it happens. If you want to receive more of God and the blessing of the Spirit, you have to see in the Spirit what's not yet in the physical. You have to hear the miracle before you see the miracle. You have to believe for the miracle before the miracle takes place. My spirit hears it before my eyes see it. My spirit hears it before my eyes see it. And that leads me to this scripture, the familiar passage. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, we quote this all the time when we're talking about heaven. But I believe this scripture is relevant for earth. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, "I has not seen." That is talking about the now in the flesh. I have not seen. I know he's referring to heaven here, but this is for earth as well. "I has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed these things through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." The Spirit searches the deep things of God. The deep things of God are miracles of big faith. They are miracles that take place when we step out of the physical and into the supernatural. When we believe for something long before it takes place. What are you saying? I'm saying there was a time in your life, maybe it's right now or maybe it was in the past, where you believed with all your heart that one day you'd meet that right person and get married. You sought it. You prayed for it. You wanted it. You knew it would take place. It took faith to believe for that. It took you stepping out and saying things like, "I know one day I'm going to meet Mr. Right. I know the woman I'm supposed to marry is going to come." You prayed for her long before she got there. Prayed for him long before he got there. But when it comes sometimes to trials and tribulation, we have a hard time applying that kind of faith to our life. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if you're going through something today, you are a candidate for a miracle. If you're going through something today, you are a candidate for a blessing. I want to remind you today, the scripture I just quoted, those who suffer with Him will reign with Him. Your suffering has a purpose. Your problem has a purpose. Your sickness has a purpose. God is going to work these things for your good. But in the midst of what you're going through, you need to hear with spiritual ears that say, I hear something better coming. I hear abundance coming. I hear breakthrough coming. I hear the sound of something greater coming. Because there has to be a purpose in this. I've been sick too long. I've been in the wilderness too long. I've been going around in circles for too long. I've been like the children of Israel, just running around in circles in a wilderness. Sometime there's got to be a point to all this circling. Sometime there's got to be a way out of this. God's got to do something. I want to remind you today, in the midst of your trouble, that God has a purpose for it. And if you'll just begin to speak it, if you'll just begin to believe it, if you'll just begin to stand on faith that says, I shall not be moved. I'm believing God for more, for better, for higher, and for greater. It's going to take place. Last time I was here, I preached on the best is yet to come. Some of the best has come, but some of the best is still yet to come in your life. Prayer and fasting grow your spirit, man, to hear, to see, to believe the supernatural more, and trust the things of the world less. Don't give up on the rain. I hear it. Don't give up on the breakthrough. I hear the chains falling. Don't give up on the miracle. I hear the sound of heaven coming down to earth. Your spirit should always be in tune with heaven and be ready to receive on earth what you hear in the heavenlies. I believe that's why corporate prayer is so important, and we hear each other pray, and we hear in the spirit, we hear tongues being proclaimed when we pray, because it's building up that faith that allows you to be bold enough to begin to hear the sounds of heaven more than you hear the sounds and temptations of earth. The second thing is important to remember for us to have big faith when we only have a small cloud. The first is, number one, my spirit has to hear it before my eyes see it. Number two, humble prayer always brings about breakthrough in your life. Humble prayer always brings about breakthrough in your life. 1 Kings 18, 42 and 43, our text read and said this. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. Elisha's been told that the drought is going to end. But Elisha doesn't stop praying for the drought to end just because God said it's going to take place. Some of us get a promise from God and we stop praying because we think, well, God said He promised it's going to take place. Your prayer life will determine when the promise takes place and how it gets delivered. What God promises are yes and amen. But in the midst of that promise, God is waiting for you to pray so that that which you're praying for, that promise which you want to receive, can be delivered in due time and in due season. Don't give up on the promise because God said it years ago. Pray until the promise is delivered. Pray until the promise comes to pass. Don't just think, well, it's possible with God. It's possible with God, but He wants your faith to reach out to that promise and grab it in prayer and say, I'm standing on this promise, God. I believe this. Listen, Elisha, he put himself prostrate on the ground in a moment when drought's taking place in front of the king and said, I want my servant in this cave to go look seven times. I believe something great's happened. But the whole time his servant is seeking for a cloud, watch this, he is seeking God. The whole time his servant's seeking a miracle, he's seeking God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you've got to seek the God of rain before you see the cloud. You've got to seek the God of the rain before you see the cloud. You've got to seek Him with all your heart. What humble prayer shakes the heavens. It moves earth. It changes things. Humble prayer will always bring about breakthrough in your life. Without humbling yourself, there is no blessing. Without humbling, there is no blessing. To be blessed is to be humbled first. Elijah seeks God before he ever sees God. Elijah seeks God before he ever sees God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm so wired up, I need to calm down before I bust loose. I got some buttons. I got to calm down now. I'm telling you this morning, before you ever see God, seek God. What are you saying, preacher? Saying, I haven't felt God in a long time. Seek Him. You'll find Him. If you seek Him, the Word says, with your whole heart. He's not a Christmas list. He's not Santa. We don't go before Him asking Him things. We go before Him and say, God, we thank You for all that You've done. God, we thank You for Your Son who shed His blood on Mount Calvary that we might be here. And Lord, we don't have being. We don't have breath in our body unless You give it to us. God, I thank You for another day that You've given me to live. Lord, I praise Your name today. I thank You for Your Word says that the earth is Yours and the fullness thereof. God, I thank You that Your promises are yes and amen. When we go before God, we do so on our knees to humble ourselves to a God that we're unworthy to even talk to. But when we talk to Him, we express our thanksgiving. He said to enter what? My courts with Elisha does what only he can do to receive the promise. He goes and he begins to pray and he begins to seek God. But sometimes when you pray, sometimes the sign or the miracle or the thing that you want to take place doesn't happen the first time you seek God. We get disappointed because God doesn't move when we want Him to. When the whole time, what God's trying to get us to see is, I will move in my time, because if you receive it before it's your time to receive it, you won't be able to contain the blessing. You won't be able to understand the blessing. You won't be able to even comprehend the blessing. Because I don't want to just give you something to fill your cup. I want to give you something that's overflow. I want to blow your mind with what I'm about to do. So Elisha prays and his servant seeks and looks for a cloud. Humbly praying before God, Elisha seeks the God of the rain. Elisha runs to a cave. He's just been on top of Mount Carmel. He's just seen the victory. He's running from the king's wife because she's put a bounty on his life. But think about it for a moment. He's just slayed 600 false prophets on Mount Carmel. She's mad. She's possessive. She wants to see him removed from earth because of what he's done. Elisha's just seen God move with fire, and he's so terrified he runs to a cave. Preachers criticize him all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you got a mad woman after you, you'd run into a cave too. He has literally destroyed her self-made priesthood by killing the prophets of Baal. And he runs into a cave. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying some of your greatest miracles, my Lord, some of the greatest miracles in your life come when you're afraid and on the run and in a cave by yourself. Why? Because sometimes it's when we're alone and there's no noise and there's no people asking for anything and there's nobody else around and it's just you and God and your tears and your pain and your problems and what you're running from and your fear, where you really get a hold of God. You really touch heaven like never before, because Elisha has just experienced the greatest miracle, the greatest victory of his life, and he runs to the cave because he's afraid, and that's where he finds God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying don't criticize Elijah because he runs in the cave. He runs in the cave because he knows he's got to get a hold of God. For the fullness of what's about to take place to change this land, he's got to get a hold of God. He can't just depend on one victory. He's got to get a hold of God to win the battle. Elisha stays in the cave and his servant goes out one time. And Elisha's laying before God. He's on his face. He's got his face tucked between his legs. He's in constant prayer, second time, third time, fourth time. Nothing happens. Maybe Elisha's like us. Maybe he was getting frustrated and maybe he's afraid and maybe he's not understanding why God's not moved yet. God said our drought's going to end and that it's going to stop and that there's going to be rain again and it's not taking place yet, and God's moved by a fire, and now I'm in a cave 1, 2, 3 days later, and I'm praying, I'm seeking. Scripture doesn't tell us, but this may have happened over a couple days where his servant went out again and again and looked and looked and looked. Finally, the seventh time, the number of completion. Boy, it's a sermon right there. You will never get what God wants you to get until you get to the number of completion. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you might be on 6, 5, 4. Don't give up because you got to get to 7. 7's coming. The seventh time his servant goes out one more time, his servant probably goes out discouraged. His servant probably goes out thinking, what is the point to this? He's in there crying and praying and wailing before God, and he's wanting me to go in and out of this cave. I don't even know what I'm looking for. I'm looking towards the sea. I don't see anything. Nothing's moving. It's dry. The sea has decreased. There's been no rain for 3 years. Elisha must be crazy. I don't understand what's going on. He was just on Mount Carmel. Now he's in this cave. I don't get it. Finally, the seventh time, probably just a little bit sarcastically, he says, there's a cloud out there the size of a man's hand. I don't know what else to tell you. And Elisha, see, when you've been down, all you need is just a little sign. See, when you've been in a cave by yourself afraid because the prophets are chasing you, false prophets are chasing you, and the king wants you dead and the king's wife wants your head on a platter, when you've been stuck in a cave and you've been seeking God and you can't even see what's in front of you for the tears streaming down your face and the cave is filled with the incense of what you're praying for and your need is great and mighty and you're trying to redeem a whole land. See, when you get to that place in your life where you're so broken, you don't even know how to pray, when you're so messed up you don't know what to say, in those moments when you're afraid and by yourself and you're thinking, I don't know if I can hold on, I don't know if my marriage is going to make it, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to pay these bills. See, it's in that moment when you go the seventh time and look out over your life and you just see this, you just see a little hand-sized cloud, you just see a little something rising up out of the ocean of the deadness of your life, and you say, that must be a sign from God. Elisha begins to speak faith. And he says, Ahab, get the chariot ready. Tell Ahab to get the chariot ready. And he says this. This was his moment of great faith. He says, because the rain is going to get ready. It's coming and it's going to stop him. So tell him to get his chariot ready. What are you saying? I'm saying Elisha didn't just say, it's going to trickle. It's going to come a little bit of rain. It's going to hit the dry spots in the ground and the cracks. It's going to be a little trickle. Elisha said, you better go get the chariot ready. Because you won't be able to ride on the chariot later because there's a rain coming and mud is going to flow because the rain's coming and you won't be able to drive that chariot in the mud. You better get ready because there's a rain. What are you saying? I'm saying it's time that you look at your life and say, you better get ready, son and daughter. You better get ready, grandson. You better get ready, nephew and niece. You better get ready, Evangel Church of God, because what God has got coming is a rain, and you're not going to be able to contain what's going to take place in this rain. You better get ready and prepare for it because it's coming. What are you saying, preacher? You're crazy, you're wild, you're dancing, you're screaming, you're hollering. I'm telling you this morning, we better prepare because it's coming. Thirdly and lastly, this morning, small cloud, big faith. Third and final key is this. Number three, every sign has to be seen as significant. When you're praying and seeking God, when you're asking Him to move, every sign has got to be seen as significant. It would have been easy for the servant or for Elijah to look at that cloud and say, there's no rain coming out of that cloud. Maybe you didn't see it right. That's just a mirage out there. It's so far away. Maybe that was just the water that from the spout of a well. That might not be what you think it is. And isn't that just like us or the devil or your best friend to say, well, maybe what you believe isn't really what you're supposed to believe. Maybe that sign isn't what you think it is. Maybe that what you believe in. Maybe that crazy church with that crazy preacher where they loosen his tie and he spits and hollers and shouts. Maybe you need to go somewhere that's a little calmer. Maybe you should go somewhere where they have more this or have more that. Listen. When you're waiting on a sign, every sign is significant. When you're waiting on a move of God, every sign is significant. You've got to see that God is in the little things as much as He is the big. He says, He told us in His Word, Jesus said directly to His disciples, He says, "My Father has clothed the lilies. He's fed the sparrows this morning. How much more important do you think you are to Him?" What are you saying? I'm saying God's concerned in the big things and in the small things. If He puts dew on the ground and He feeds the sparrows during the day, how much more do you think He's concerned about the big things and the small things in your life? What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes you've got to say this. I've seen enough to believe for more. I've seen just enough to believe for more. When Pastor Rick got here, I thought he was a little bit crazy. I thought he was a little bit loud. But I've seen just enough to believe for more. I've seen the church grow just enough to believe for more. I've seen God bless my family just enough to believe for more. I was just a tad bit Baptist. I was just a tad bit on the back row. I was just a tad bit not knowing about this Pentecostal thing. But I've seen just enough to know that it's real. I've seen just enough to know that when I pray, I can call on the name of Jesus. I can lay hands on myself if I have to. And I believe the prayers of the sick, as the Word of God said, will heal. What are you saying? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when you see a sign, get the horse ready, get the chariot ready, prepare, the blessing is coming. Three very quick things I want to remind you of. If you want the blessing, number one, believe for the blessing, prepare for the blessing, go to receive the blessing. You won't get what you don't prepare for. You won't get what you don't believe for. And you won't get where you don't go. Believe for the blessing, prepare for the blessing, and go to receive the blessing. Elijah believed for it in verse 1 and 2 when God said it was going to happen. He prepared for it when he got in the cave and began to pray. And he went to go receive it. He got the chariot ready. He got out of the cave and he said, "It's coming, here it is." And by the time he got out of the cave and got the chariot ready and got on the horse, and him and Ahab are thundering down the mountain. And the Bible says the clouds begin to open and the sky gets black and the wind begins to roll and rain begins to fall like never before. I'm saying my belief for the spiritual starts in the physical. My faith to believe for rain is a building block for more. The things you are believing for is a stepping stone for more. Yeah, but it starts with a cloud. If you can believe for a little cloud, you can believe for great things. But it starts with a cloud. If you'll stand with me this morning. At any point, you and me will get satisfied and stop. At verse 1 and 2. When God tells Elisha, "There's rain coming," many of us would have stopped right there. "Well, there's rain coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that." Elisha didn't stop there. After Mount Carmel, after a great victory of God, you've seen 600 prophets be slain at one time. You've seen fire fall from heaven on the altar you prepared. Many of us would have stopped right there, went home and said, "Well, I've done my job. I hope this land turns back to God." We've been justified to stop there too. Elisha believes, then he goes to the cave and he prepares. Gets on his face before God. Seeks the God of the rain before the rain comes. Seeks the presence of the Almighty one more time. Maybe the conversation went like this: "God, I know you've just answered by fire, but you've said there's rain coming. Lord, I'm just reminding you, this is your humble servant. I'm running for my life here. The king and his wife want to destroy me. I've just taken out an army of false prophets. I know you've answered by fire, but in this cave, God, running for my life, I feel so alone." What are you saying? I'm saying in a moment when we have a great altar service, don't sit back and watch the great move of God. Like those who were on Mount Carmel said, "Wow, God moved with fire. Did you see that? That's awesome." Get in the midst of what God's doing. Get in the midst of the fire. Get in the midst of the cave. Get ready for the rain. Prepare
for the blessing. Prepare for the blessing. Real quickly, Rachel's 13 or 14 weeks pregnant with our third child. Two of our children in your nursery today. Our oldest, Eden, before she was born, we took a normal test that wants you to do to check for conditions the baby might have before birth. Just a routine test. We didn't think anything about it. Went through it. Got a call. We come in. They say, results say that your child may, we think, we believe, that when she's born, she's going to have autism. Down syndrome. Thank you. Down syndrome. We were hurt, afraid, scared. All the emotions you feel. Great people of faith have emotion too. I refused to accept it. I went to the church after Rachel fell asleep. I went to my youth room. I got the anointing oil out and I anointed every chair. And I called the name of every one of my 55, 60 kids in my youth group that night. And then I called Eden's name out in prayer. Why? Because the business of the kingdom. When you give your life to the business of the kingdom, you put God's people first. I called on God and I said, God, I said all those names to just remind you of the difference that we're trying to make it here at this church. I reminded God of this kid and what he's been through and how God saved him and this young lady and what God's done in her life and how he's brought her through. I reminded God of this sermon I preached and that thing I said. And I got on the altar and rolled around and cried and wailed and said, God, I remember when I did this for you. And I reminded God of all I did for him. And I told God, I said, God, I've given my whole life to you since I was 9 years old. I preached the word. I don't know nothing else, God. I refuse to believe my baby's going to be born any other way than completely healthy. I do not accept this diagnosis. I don't accept it, God. He told us we needed to go to Orlando a couple weeks later. Didn't tell anybody about my time with God. I just kept praying by myself, alone, believing God's going to change this. I stepped into the doctor's office and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as plain as He's ever spoke to me in my life. And He said, this diagnosis is false. So I just prayed in my mind. I said, God, I stand on Your word. I stand on Your word today. I believe the prayer of the righteous. The righteous prayer of a man availeth much. I'm standing on the word of God today. I refuse to accept this. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I believe it's You, God. This is going to be false. Lady comes in the room and she says, we've looked further at the test and I apologize. This test is about 99% sure, but there's sometimes that 1% that we just get it wrong. And in your case, you guys don't have anything to worry about. It's that 1% that's wrong. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying your case today might be the 1% that's wrong. I'm saying if you stand with big faith, there's nothing I did out of the ordinary. I just sought God. God's the one who gets the glory. There's nothing I did to try to change the circumstances. All I did was said, God, I don't believe this. I choose to believe what Your word says. What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes in your life, you've got to get to the place where you say, God, I choose to believe what You say. I want it to rain again. This drought needs to be over. I need You to answer by fire. God, I call on Your name. I believe You. I'm going to remind You of all the times You brought me through. I'm going to remind You of all the things I've done for You. And God, I'm going to stand on the truth of Your word today. But I need a miracle. I'm standing in the gap for my lost children. I'm standing in a gap for my lost grandchildren. God, I'm standing in the gap for my spouse that's sick. I believe, God, that You're going to heal. I believe You're going to move. I believe You're going to set free, God. Oh, God, I come to You as humbly as I know how, believing by faith that all things are possible to them who believe. That's what Your word says, God. I'm reminding You of Your word today. I'm looking for the miracle one time, two times, five times, and I'm believing on the seventh time I'm going to see a cloud the size of a man's hand coming out of the sea of my life. I believe for more. If that's you today, would you step out of your seat and come and stand at this altar and let's pray together. Let's anoint you with oil and pray for you. Sickness in your body. You need a financial miracle. You need your marriage to be put back together. You need to pray for a child that's lost or a loved one that's lost. You want to stand in the gap for a need today. Would you get out of your seat right now and come to this altar and let's pray and let's seek the face of God. There's a cloud coming in your life. Let's prepare for it today. Would you come? Let's prepare for the miracle. Let's get ready for God's best. Let's